Sorry, it made me cry. Oh my god. Okay. So Pamela says to me, what's this dancing on the ceiling? How do you dance on the ceiling? Do you guys remember that Lionel Richie song? Yeah. Oh, what a feeling when we're dancing on the ceiling. You guys, yeah. Okay, so that's how I got that. I thought, that's fun. What is all that about? That's about, you know, finding the joy when you're so happy it's hard to keep your feet on the ground, you know, when you're just floating a little bit. And you can't hold back. You just want to dance. You just want to dance, right? But honestly, that is not sustainable, right? We all have our ups and downs. That's how life is. And we all go through challenges. And, you know, recently I've been going through a challenge myself. And on Friday, I talked to one of the swamis and told him what's going on. He says, pray. And I go, yeah, I know. I pray every day. And he goes, just pray about this specific thing and give it to Mother and see what happens. So I'm like, okay. So I pray like I have been, but we all need that reminder, right? So Saturday morning yesterday, I wake up, I'm doing my stuff, my normal morning, blah, blah, here it is Saturday, what am I going to do? And getting ready for breakfast and watering the plants and all that. Just another boring day. And I hear from the backyard, Lisa, Lisa, like these little voices. And I'm like, what is going on? And so I open up the door to the backyard and I'm like, what is this? It's five little kids at my back gate. Can we come in? Can we come play? I'm like, yes. I'm like, of course. Please come in. Oh my gosh. The day was totally turned upside down. From a dull, boring Saturday, I now had five little kids, age ranges from 3 to 8, okay, all over my house. First, we were in the backyard. And I'm telling you, this was such an answered prayer to me because it brought me the joy I was seeking. And it just told me that it's always there. Like those kids are always in the house. I could have gone over to them and say, can I come over? You know, can I come play? But I didn't do that. They came to me. And so, you know, and a day when I expected to just be doing chores or whatever, hanging out and feeling down in the dumps, we baked a persimmon pie. We baked an apple pie. We made a fruit salad. I mean, I was like trying to keep these kids so busy and organized. And the mom kept calling, are you okay over there? Do you want me to come get them? I'm like, no, I'm fine. I'm fine. We're good. Don't worry. And she's like, well, I'm here if you need me. I'm like, no, I'm having a blast. So we played on the swings. We made a fairy house. We made this fake Christmas tree. We put snowflakes on the sliding glass door. I mean, it was the best day ever. Okay. Sometimes that's all you need, you know, is just to feel the love and see the innocence and see the joy and see how happy these kids were. Like all they wanted to do was like cut up pumpkin, which is hard to do, cut up pumpkin and cut up papaya and cut up kiwi. I was trying to find whatever I had in the house that's easy for them to cut up. And they're too little to reach the counter, you know. So some of them are sitting on top of the counter with their little, I'm giving them a plastic knife, you know, because I'm so afraid they're going to cut their fingers off and I'm never going to see them again. Their parents are going to be so mad. But they're all looking up at me like, this is so much fun. This is so much fun. I'm like, this is great, you know, these little miracles. So, you know, I'm just saying we want to be dancing on a ceiling, but what if we're not in the mood? How do we get in the mood? We have to decide that it's like people say God is not in you, you are in God. Love is not in you, you are in love. This is what it all is about. So sometimes it's just as simple as tuning into the frequency, dialing it in, you know, finding that groove, whatever it takes. Like for Bill, it might be picking up the guitar. I had one of the little kids sit down at the piano. Can I play the piano? I'm like, I don't know. Can you? You may play the piano, but have you, do you know how? Yeah, sure. His mom told me he never played the piano in his life. But he had a great time trying to figure it out himself. And I'm like, yeah, it's not bad. That's not bad. For 6 years old, you're doing darn good. So it's always there. We just need to tune into the frequency. And, you know, we might say, oh, that's not possible. It's always possible. It's always possible. There's a story about the three monks, and they needed to cross a lake, right? So they're crossing the lake. One monk goes, and he's actually, it looks like he's walking on the water. He just crosses the lake very easily. And this man's watching this happen, and he's going, I'm witnessing a miracle. This monk is walking across the water. And then sure enough, the second monk does the same thing. He's like, oh my gosh. And then the third monk goes, and he's like, okay, if these three can do it, I can do it. So he starts out, and he's walking in the lake, and boom, he sinks. He's like, okay, I just have to have faith. I have to have faith. Starts out, walks, plunk, sinks in the water. The monks are on the other side of the lake, and one says to the other, you think we should tell them where the rocks are? There's always a way. People come before us, and they're giving us the example. You know, this isn't rocket science. This has been done before. People get down. They boost up. Sometimes it's just flipping a switch, looking at it from a different angle. There's a principle in spirituality called the coexistence of opposites. You know, it looks like there's two opposites, but really we're on this circular spectrum, right? And it's not just this or this. There's a lot of gray. It's not just black or white. There's a lot of gray. And there's a lot of gray this way, and there's a lot of gray this way, too. And we can look at it like a rainbow. You know, a rainbow that arches, but really a rainbow is a circle. It's not just an arch. It's a circle. We just can't see the bottom because it's not in the sky, but it's a circle. And it's kind of like, okay, you know how there's the principle in Vedanta of the stages of consciousness. So there's waking consciousness right now that we are in. I think we talked about this last time about what's a dream and what's not a dream, right? But there's waking. Then there's dreaming, which is like we think we're awake when we're in the dream, but we're actually sleeping because we're dreaming. But is that a dream or is that not a dream, right? But then there's this state called deep sleep. Deep sleep is when you're not dreaming. Deep sleep is that healing rest that you get, and you're unaware at that time. And the only reason you know you've had deep sleep is because you wake up in the morning and you feel refreshed. And you know, oh, I slept well. Well, how do you know you slept well? You know, it's because you feel good. But what's happening in that deep sleep stage is that is when you are nearest to that state of enlightenment. You're like touching it. You don't cross over because you're asleep, but your mind is so pure and so knowing and so receptive that you're right there. So we touch this state of the pure bliss, the pure truth, existence, Satchitananda bliss, we touch it almost every night. We're there. So if we can just become aware of it and know that we're capable of it, we can bring that awareness into our everyday life. It's kind of like, you know, when you're surrounded by darkness, a little tiny light is going to show off so much. You're going to notice it. You're going to notice that little tiny light. It makes a difference in the darkness. And Deepak Chopra used to always say, it's like we're living in this magnificent museum, like we're living in the Louvre Museum, and the lights are out, and we're carrying a little flashlight with us, and we're walking around going, oh, isn't that pretty? Oh, isn't that pretty? Oh, isn't that pretty? Right? We need to gradually expand our light so that we can see more of the big picture that fits in our little frame. The other way to do it is we can just click on the light, right? Just click on the light, and there we go. There we go. Can be as simple as that. On Thursday, I treated myself to go see Wicked. You guys heard of this? Yeah, the movie's out now. Have you guys seen it yet? Oh my gosh, it is amazing. It is like so good if you're a movie fan. If you've seen The Wizard of Oz, you're gonna really appreciate this. This is like the prequel to The Wizard of Oz. But only one spoiler alert here. This is not the whole movie. This is part one of a two-part movie. This movie is 2 hours and 40 minutes, and it's only half a movie. So it's a to be continued at the end. So, you know, don't be like, wait, what happened? What happened? Because it's a cliffhanger and it leaves you hanging. But this was actually a Broadway show first. And it's based on a book that someone wrote, not L. Frank Baum, who wrote The Wizard of Oz, but just, you know, reimagining what would have happened, you know, kind of like in the play that you saw, Pamela, that would have happened, you know, if these two witches grew up together and went to school together, and maybe they were friends, and let's see what happens, right? So they just kind of riff on that. And just a little origin story. So the two witches' names are Glinda. You understand later why she changed her name to Glinda, but it's Galinda in this movie. And Elphaba. So how did they get Elphaba? Like, has anyone ever heard this name Elphaba? It's a tribute to L. Frank Baum. E-L-F-B. Elphaba. That's how they named her. And, you know, on that theme of things are never what they seem, these two women look like total opposites. You've got Glinda the Good Witch and Elphaba the Wicked Witch. And how did people determine who they are? Purely by what they look like. Purely by Glinda is all light and pink and glowy and sparkly and, you know, Ariana Grande. And then Elphaba is green and she wears black and she's like, you know. But as you start seeing their personalities at the beginning, you see that things are not always what they seem. Glinda is actually a spoiled brat. She's very selfish. You know, she's very self-centered. And Elphaba is actually very sensitive and sweet and caring and puts selfless. She's very selfless. So I think this is an amazing movie for kids to see too, because there's a lot of lessons in there about friendship and believing in yourself and not listening to what other people say and that kind of thing. It's really about the power of faith and about not just seeing with your eyes, but seeing with your heart, seeing with your gut, seeing beyond Maya, the illusion. So actually next week when I'm here, and Bill's going to be here too, I'm going to talk more about Wicked because there's so much to say. So my talk next week is Defying Gravity, and we'll get more into Wicked. But the other thing, I can't even believe my time goes up so fast here. It's like I haven't even get to page two yet. The other thing I'm going to talk about next week is Stoicism. Have you guys heard of Stoicism? Yeah. So we're going to talk about that a little bit more because, you know, we talk about the faith, all the faiths and everything, and it's not mentioned on there, but it's a very ancient religion, and it's really interesting. And I've seen so many interesting parallels with this and Science of Mind too. Like Marcus Aurelius from Greece, he's one of the ones that started the Stoicism movement. Listen to this. This sounds like something totally that Ernest Holmes would have said. He says, "You have power over your mind, not outside events. Realize this and find strength." And he also said, and this is like, this could have been in the script of Wicked, because this is like so good. "It never ceases to amaze me. We all love ourselves more than we love other people, but care more about their opinions than our own." Do you guys find that? It's like, yeah, we hear all those critics on the outside thinking, you know, making us doubt ourselves. Why? We know. So the only person's opinion we really need is our own. So there's a saying in Vedanta that says, if we saw ourselves as God sees us, we would bow down and touch our own feet. We are divine, beautiful beings. We can create anything. We can do anything. We can, through our own spirit and our own will and our own optimism and faith and resilience, create anything in this world we want. And we've seen it happen time and time again, how people come together. And sometimes we just have to come together for ourselves. So there's real life miracles all over the place. I remember this one time, Malika Chopra, Deepak's daughter, was in India. And he told us this whole story, but it made the news and everything. So she was in India, and there was this very mysterious occurrence that was happening. Some little boy offered milk to a statue of Ganesha, and Ganesh drank the milk. Like, literally, the statue sucked up the milk. And people were like, whoa, what just happened here? Like, people saw it, and they're like, wait, let's go try this with other statues. And they started trying it with other statues, and the Ganeshas were all drinking the milk. And the whole city was like going nuts. Wait, what is happening? Ganeshas are drinking the milk. So Malika calls her dad, Deepak, in San Diego, says, "Mom, Dad," it's the middle of the night, right, in San Diego, "offer some milk to Ganesh." And they're like, what? Why? Why now? It's like 3 o'clock in the morning. Just do it. See what happens. Let me know what happens. Offer the milk to Ganesh. Drink the milk. He's like, whoa, this is amazing. So this whole phenomenon made the news. It only lasted a couple hours. And then it was gone. Didn't happen anymore or anything. But it's just a demonstration. I think God sometimes, spirit, mother, universe, this energy wants to shake us up and remind us that there are real life miracles. God will send a group of neighborhood kids over to us as an answer to our prayer. God will let us feel so joyful that we feel like we're dancing on the ceiling. God will bring this group of people together on a Sunday to lift each other up and say, you got this. So, you got this, Arjuna. I'll be back next week with all my stuff. And just remember, life may look wonky, but sometimes from upside down, we see it the right way. It's all perspective. If we're a dance on the ceiling, we're upside down, we see a different perspective, and maybe that's just what we need. So we're all in this together. Life is a game, but life is a party. Okay, and Bill's back. Yay!